being investigated. Milt Fullerton reports a conspiracy is surfacing in the death of Sadat.
President Sadat had his own military security contingent, but those troops reportedly were pulled away from the reviewing stand just before grenade and gun-wielding attackers burst from a military parade and gunned down the Egyptian leader. Sources who tell NBC News that a senior military officer ordered the presidential protectors to withdraw also tell us that most of Sadat's security people are being interrogated now, including at least one high-ranking officer. Witnesses to the Sadat assassination say the killers very well could have decimated the country's political and military leadership. Those who blame individuals say that destructive opportunity was ignored on purpose. The conspiracy theorists say that it was a full-scale coup attempt, but failed.
Meantime, the man accused of masterminding the assassination awoke from a coma today and reportedly told all about the assassination. An Egyptian defense minister predicts a speedy public trial and execution by hanging. WTIC, temperature 55.
Turn in at the Best Western Hotel or Motor Inn nearest you and ask for your free full-color road atlas and travel guide. It's the best in the lodging industry. Then, use it to plan your next trip the Best Western way. The Best Western Road Atlas and Travel Guide, free at the Best Western nearest you.
Turn in at a Best Western, turn in America. Turn in at a Best Western, turn in.
WTIC News Time, 7:02. Very poor is what a report by the Federal Department of Education has to say about Connecticut's financial support to public education. 22% below the national average, according to that report. For every $1,000 of personal income, about $43 goes to public education. United Illuminating wants to change the way it does its accounting to take advantage of some new tax laws. If allowed, UI customers will be paying about 8 cents more in its monthly payments. Athens and Milner and Murphy and Ludgan are back on the Hartford primary election ballot for tomorrow for the second time in 2 months. Registered Democrats are being asked to pick a mayoral candidate to run in next month's general election. 1080 News asking one of those candidates, Mrs. Joanna Murphy, who she thinks will win the second time around.
This one you just cannot call. I've been trying to steer people away from what the Pauls are trying to do, and that steal a vote in as much as a vote for A is a vote for C is a vote for B is a vote for D. And the people are confused.
Deputy Mayor Robert Ludgan, what does he think about it?
I don't know, and I always refrain from making predictions of elections. That's not my function.
WTIC News will provide up-to-date election coverage after the polls close tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. Meantime, State Representative Thurman Milner, a candidate in that Democratic nomination for mayor, says he may take legal action against incumbent Mayor George Atherton. Milner says either Atherton or one of his aides informed the Journal Inquirer what appeared to be an erroneous claim of Milner's employment history. The paper wrote of an article on the alleged discrepancy without checking with Milner. Milner telling WTIC News that's just another smear tactic.
I intend to turn this to my lawyer, I feel it's libelous, and let him look into it. Rather, the suit will come out of it, I don't know. But I'm not going to just let it pass because I think this is the lowest type of political trick that anyone can pull.
And singer Wayne Newton is under strict security on vacation in Mexico. Following reports in the New York Daily News, the Gambino crime family has put a contract out on his life. Newton and entertainer Lola Falana, key witnesses in the indictments of the late Frank Piccolo and Guido Pedosi, said to run the Gambino crime operations in Los Angeles and Las Vegas. WTIC News Time, 7:04.
The WTIC Travelers Weather Service forecast for Connecticut and the Springfield area. Through tonight, we'll have clear skies and on the chilly side again, morning lows in the upper 20s and 30s. For tomorrow, a cold, frosty start in the morning, but with plenty of bright sunshine, it will be turning a little warmer tomorrow, high 60 to 65 with very little wind. Clear and not quite as cold tomorrow night, and the outlook for Wednesday, sunny and turning even warmer with highs in the 60s to near 70. In Hartford now, it's 52.
The WTIC top story this hour, assassinated President Anwar Sadat's personal bodyguards are being questioned surrounding rumors his death was a military coup. Arnold Dean with more sports conversation for another 5 years. I'm Phil Hall, WTIC 1080 News.
Arnold Dean, Sports Talk.
WTIC 1080 invites you to talk sports with Arnold Dean. Dial the Dean of Sports at 522-0200.
Hello again, everybody, and welcome back. We're all sitting in the studio munching cake, and is that good? And looking over the nice loot that has been brought up on the occasion of this fifth anniversary of my doing this show. Actually, you guys missed it. You know, the anniversary was yesterday. I was sitting here last night, and nobody showed up. No phone calls either. It was one of those nights. Hi, this is Arnold Dean. You're on WTIC.
Hi, Arnold. I'm a first-time caller from West Hartford.
Yes, sir.
And I've played hockey for about 13 years, and I was at the opening game between the Whalers and the Bruins. Did you by chance see it?
No, I was homesick in bed, would you believe it, of all the games to miss.
Well, I'd like to comment on two aspects of the game. One, some of the trades, and two, the quality of the refereeing. As a soccer coach in West Hartford, I'd like to know how we can teach kids to play fair and play clean, hard sports when they go to a Whalers game and see just some outrageous brutality. I really can't believe that the refereeing was so shoddy as to allow the kind of penalty-free play, which included, you know, really butting with sticks, people taking people down from behind, putting their arms over the other player's neck. And I think it's up to the owners to stand up and go for clean play instead of this bloodbath and butchery that they call hockey here.
Would you mind if I called on Gordie Howe, perhaps, to...
I just want to question the bloodbath. I did not see any blood out there.
Well, that's a figure of speech, Gordie. Wasn't bloody, but it was sure dirty.
Well, I'll go along with... dirtiness, is, I think, is when you deliberately go from head on or shoulders up. There was a lot of hooking, a lot of tripping, a lot of pulling, and I think basically the reason for that is the boys are not in what you call typical top shape, and they are pulling down. And however, when you saw a breakage of play that one time, they went over to talk to the referee, and I'd question if the referee had a whistle in his hands, because there were several infractions, and he more or less let the game get away from him. But I don't think the brutality was there. There's a lot of tripping and pushing and shoving and hooking, but there wasn't what we'd call a real brutal game. It was kind of interesting from the fans' point of view, other than the fact the infractions exceeded everything I've seen in the game so far.
Well, I just think the owners have to stand up in a group and insist on a higher quality of standard among the referees. I stress it with my kids playing soccer, and it's the same kind of game. It's constant, it's fluid, and it has the same character as hockey. It doesn't end except for a quarter. You know, there's four mm-hmm. quarters as against three periods. The second point I'd like to make is that while I can understand trading Mike Rogers away for Blake Wellesley, who played a reasonably good game, I don't understand why the Whalers went for an old wheel horse like Rick McLeish, who doesn't back check. If he doesn't want to play back-checking hockey, what good is he?
Why don't you ask Mr. Rogers that question too? I would say one thing about
this. This
your
is
facts.
Chuck Caton's voice. Yeah,
it perturbs me sometimes, and we talk about this on the air once in a while. I appreciate, and I think the Hartford Whalers and National Hockey League teams appreciate fans' comments, but I think that once they are. If they are well-documented and researched comments, I appreciate them. But I sit here and I burn up when fans don't know a lot of times what they're talking about. And I'm not saying that you are one I am speaking of, but I do want to clear a couple of facts up before you start lambasting certain aspects of play. First of all, Rogers wasn't traded for McLeish and Wesley.
Well, I know he wasn't traded.
Second of all, we want to talk about the back-checking. We should also talk about not taking anything away from Mike Rogers offensively, but defensively I think he left a lot to be desired as well. And maybe other people can't say these type of things, but I feel like I can as an objective journalist and point those other facts to you. I think when the trade was made for Rick McLeish, you had a situation where the club had already signed free agent Greg Millen and had lost Pat Buttet and Kevin McClellan. And I think that in an effort to try to recuperate some of the And also go for defensive help and also recuperate some scoring that was lost on that in that exchange in the compensation case. That's probably why the Whalers went offered a guy like McLeish, went for a guy like McLeish.
Chuck, and you have to mention, too, the two gentlemen that were traded for him were two individuals that did not make our club. So, really, we got two active players playing on the roster right now where we had two in the minors before with little hopes of achieving. And as much as I adored the Allison, I did not know Freddie Arthur, but I felt very sorry for the little guy who I called Allison. And he did not have the ability which he showed during his junior games, and therefore what we picked him for he did not show when he hit the big times, and he just lacks certain qualifications. Arthur, to me, never did have any qualifications. He was kind of hockneyed. He's very easy to knock off his feet for a big man. As a body checker, he never hit anybody other than with his stick. Unless somebody can spend a lot of time in improving him, I think we're two men ahead of where we were last year at that point.
Well, I can agree with that in a sense, but I'd like to see Rick McLeish really do some back-checking because he's a big guy, and if he does it, he's going to be very effective at it.
Yeah, well, Rick McLeish, I think he will do the job both ways. Right now, he's battling a very bad knee. A lot of people don't know it. We don't like to talk about it, but he does have a pair of bad knees right now. They're a little giving him a little problem, but he's a veteran and a good hockey player. There's no doubt in my mind he'll do the job.
Well, I can sympathize with that since I've had knee surgery, but I do wish that all of you would really get up for a higher level of quality in terms of the refereeing, so that when I and others turn to our kids, we can turn to sports and say, here's what you look forward to, and it's good, clean play, because that's what we teach here.
Yeah, well, I don't take all the fun out of the game. You know, I fought the referees for many years, but some of what is the edge is going on, that little bit of play behind the referee, that really ups the tempo of the game and excites people, too. But I'll go along with you. Referees have a very difficult job, and they should be chosen very wisely. And unfortunately for the individual who refereed that game, he's considered one of the better ones.
Thanks for your call, sir.
Thank you very much, Arnold.
Bye-bye. Did you have a footnote on that, Chuck?
I just wanted to agree with what Gordy said about the officiating, and I think that naturally I think every sport looks to upgrade its officials, and it's a thankless job, and I think that more often than not you see errors in judgment more than errors in the black and white aspects of the rule. And I still say, for those who feel the officiating is that way in the NHL, look to the NBA. We don't have it much better over there.
For sure. It is 13 minutes after 7 on WTIC 1080. Somebody else on this special line here. Hi, this is Arnold Dean.
Hello, Arnold. How are you?
Good.
This is Tom Webster speaking.
Hawkeye.
You've got it.
How you doing?
Very good, thank you.
I got a couple of your buddies here.
You do.
I'm no friend of
that.
Well,
at least one.
Gordie Howe and Chuck Caton are right here with me. You've heard of those fellas, haven't you?
Well, I've heard of Chuck Caton. I don't know about Gordie Howe.
How's it going?
Oh, it's going very well, Arnold. Congratulations on lasting 5 years.
Well, thank you very much.
You know, in the kind of business I'm in, usually we get a retirement party if you last five.
I don't know. Gordy belied that.
If you win a cup, eh?
How you doing, Gord?
Very good, young man. You?
Oh, very well, thank you.
I hope you changed the head coach's particular maneuvers out there. They don't seem to be doing too well in New York.
Well, we're having our problems right now, and I just got over talking with Craig, and of course they're a little frustrated on it, but they're believing in the system, and they're going to try and make some adjustments. Hopefully they'll start working for the better.
Is it true that you are following the Harkness plans?
The Harkness plan?
Yeah.
Of course, that worked so well for a decade in Detroit, we all know. He can't say it, I can't.
I can't say it.
Neither one of you. I wasn't even thinking about you. I was thinking about the man in the green sweater.
Well, Arnold, what have you been doing with yourself?
Well, I haven't been as busy as you have, Tom, for sure. How did your team look?
Well, they're coming along very well. We just played against the Whalers firing team yesterday in Binghamton, and we came away with a tie. And I'm quite encouraged with what I have down here. I'm still two players under the limit that you were allowed, but the players that I have down here are putting out one heck of an effort. They're growing together as a team, and you know, we're trying to experiment with different things that Herb Brooks has introduced in New York, and they're having fun doing it. So I'm excited about it, and so are the players.
Well, that's great, Tom. It's good talking with you. I've been wanting to get you on the show anyway to talk about that team of yours, and I appreciate your calling tonight.
Well, thank you, Arnold. It's a pleasure.
We check for the results all the time. I know they had 3,000 at that game, 3,000-plus in Binghamton and for the tie game.
Yeah.
Yeah, it must have been an exciting one.
Yeah, it was. We had an early lead of 3-1, and then Binghamton caught fire, and give them a lot of credit. Boy, they haven't quit at all under Larry Kish, and they came back and they tied us. And,
yeah.
You know, we always play good hockey games together, and we respect each other as coaches.
Well, that's great. When you get them up there might be a few fans listening who want to come up and see them.
Well, I sure hope so. We can use them.
Terrific. Thank you, Tom.
All the best to you, Arnold.
Thank you very much.
Right on.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
That's Tom Webster, friends. 522-0200. Oh, another special line? Hi, this is Arnold Dean.
Hello, Mr. Dean.
Hi.
This is a gentleman that you've really supported over the past years by the name of Perno.
Mr. Dominic Perno.
How you doing?
How you doing?
Great. I just wanted to call to congratulate you on your fifth anniversary. That's fantastic. And tell you that what you've done for the sports world and in this community is just unbelievable. And wow. I just wish you continued success and keep following the Huskies as you have.
We can't miss, Dom. I'll tell you, I still get calls, you know. As a matter of fact, I tried calling your office today. I think you took the day off, didn't you?
No, we're just trying to prepare. We start on Thursday, so we're just trying we've had meetings and all day today.
Is that right?
Yeah, and we're going, and we will the next couple of days, but I did want to get a hold of you. I tried to call you the other day, but you're a tougher guy than I am to get a hold of. Right,
somebody
there.
Told me it's easier to reach the president. I don't think that's quite true, but we will get together because we want to do a full show with you here somewhere in the next couple of weeks if we can.
Great.
Terrific.
Looking forward to it.
Thank you, Dom.
Continued success.
Thank you very much, and say hello to everybody.
I will,
Charlie. Very good.
Bye-bye.
Dom Perno from the University of Connecticut basketball team. Kind of excited at all this. Why don't they call in every night? We can talk over all the different sports every night here. No problem at all. Hi, this is Arnold Dean.
Arnold, how are you?
Okay.
Happy number five.
Thank you.
That was very easy to get to you tonight. I was surprised. I called a second time and bingo.
No kidding.
Yeah, very surprised. I haven't talked to you for quite a while, but I do listen.
I think you lucked out because they've been pretty busy.
Yeah, I've been waiting for close to a half hour.
Yeah.
But it's been enjoyable to listen to everybody call you.
Thank you.
I want to just talk about the Yanks for a few minutes.
Sure.
Everyone's talking about the mistake. I'll tell you one mistake that I think Bob Lemon goofed was the first game they lost with Tommy John. I don't think you should have brought him out in the eighth inning because he was getting hit pretty good. His ball was hanging. And he should have gone to the pen then, mm-hmm. but he stayed with him, which was a dumb mistake. And on the Cerrone bit, everyone's yelling at Cerrone. I think the dumbest mistake was made was by Milbourne because the ball wasn't thrown to the cutoff man. The ball went through the cutoff man towards first base, and Milbourne should have gone in when he saw that happen.
Yeah, and that's true. He probably could have scored.
He could have scored on that. Him and I don't know if it was a third base coach, but somebody was sleeping because when the ball was in cutoff, and you saw how Cooper had to get the ball, he had to dive for it. So it was a play where Milbourne should have just kept going.
Third base coach is Altobelli.
Yeah.
I don't know.
There's no mistakes at third base this year, as George says. But I really can't blame Rick on that. But I also go along with Steinbrenner for chewing out his ball players. He has a right to. That's the kind of man he is. If you read the paper today in a small article on the transactions, if you notice, the Kansas City Royals fired three of their coaches. So,
I didn't see that.
Yes, in the current. So, you know, we don't know what goes on out in Kansas or up and out in Houston.
Yeah, that's true.
But, I mean, there's something that, it wasn't small print, but there's something that happened. They didn't do the job, and three coaches got decked.
Now, that Kansas City team has got some real problems, I'm afraid.
They're not as strong as everyone thinks. But
that's right.
But, you know, and I don't think Cerrone's going to go.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't. I think George happens to like a type of ball player like that.
Well, maybe that's the trouble. I think Cerrone has the same fiery type of disposition, probably, that Steinbrenner has.
Right.
And maybe that makes it difficult for them to coexist.
Right. I just want to mention one thing. I was up to Boston Labor Day. Saw a good friend of yours, Bob Stanley, up there.
Oh, yeah?
Talked with him. I met him a while ago. He was down here at our Bloomfield Babe Ruth League, and I got to be friendly with him. And I talked with him. I said, how was the strike to get to the Cape? He says, no, played a lot of golf, every day golf.
Yeah.
But maybe we'll get him back on again.
Yes, we'll have to do that.
Yeah, maybe we'll call you tonight. You never know.
You never know.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Happy five.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye. We'll take another call here on that special line. Hi, this is Arnold Dean.
Arnold, how are you?
Good.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Listen, we have something in common.
Yeah?
This is your fifth anniversary, and it's also mine.
Walter Nadzak.
How you doing? Not bad.
I didn't realize that. It is your fifth, isn't it?
I just called to tell you to stop having coffee with my wife at Howard Johnson's dad. <laughs> <laughs>
Tell everybody you were there now. My wife is listening, you know.
I was there.
How you doing?
Oh, good. We're trying to recover from a couple tough losses.
Well, we have
a team worth watching.
Well, there's no question about that, but three disappointing weeks in a row.
Absolutely.
How were the kids today?
Well, we had a pretty good practice, actually, and we thought we got something accomplished. And, you know, we're not going to play any better football teams than Yale and Lehigh. And, of course, Holy Cross is just as good coming up. But we've been tested, and we've lost a couple tough ones in the last minute or so. But, you know, those even out in the long run, and we're still a good football team. We're a little down right now, but we're not discouraged.
I know you've mentioned before, when you've had down moments, that sometimes the coaching staff is down and the kids bring you fellas back up again.
Well, we did that in practice today. They're amazing. You know, we split the squad and sent half of them up with the assistants, and I took the varsity by myself, and we kind of got to know each other a little better today. We're going to be all right.
Well, I'm glad to hear it.
I'm just glad to, you know, be part of your anniversary show here.
Well, thank you, Walt. I appreciate your call. And some better things are going to be happening. I think the ball is due to bounce the other way.
Well, we're a fun team to watch. Anybody that's seen us play, nobody leaves early one way or the other, win or lose.
Terrific.
Well, congratulations again.
Thank you, Walt.
I wish you another five, and I hope I'm here to call you back.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Okay, Arnold.
Bye-bye. Bye. That's Walt Nadzak, who's the football coach at the University of Connecticut. We must take a break here now. It is 22 minutes. Make it 23 minutes after 7 o'clock on WTIC 1080.
WTIC 1080 wants you and your family to vacation in Disney World for free.
When you wish upon a star, makes no difference who you are.
Each day, WTIC 1080 invites you to be the correct caller through to identify the Grand Marshal of Disney World's Tencennial Parade.
Hey, you're right.
A winner in the Walt Disney World.
You win. I'm today's Tencennial Parade Grand Marshal.
By correctly naming the Grand Marshal of today's parade, your family of four will become eligible to win one of five free fabulous trips to Disney World. You'll fly via Eastern Airlines, the official airline of Walt Disney World, and stay in the luxurious Hotel Royal Plaza in Lake Buena Vista. Your family of four will receive tickets to the Magic Kingdom theme park and dine in the magical surroundings of the Kingdom of Walt Disney World. One of five fantasy vacations can be yours when you celebrate Disney World's 10th birthday with WTIC 1080.
You've probably been hearing a lot recently about the new CNC Developers quality-built homes for sale. You also undoubtedly know about today's high mortgage rates charged by banks. Well, to give you an example of how affordable a new CNC quality-built home really is, listen carefully. Take the CNC home selling for $61,900. With just 10% down, your monthly principal and interest payment would be about $611 over a 35-year mortgage. With 20% down, your monthly principal and interest payment would be about $533 for a 35-year mortgage. And if you had 30% to put down, your monthly principal and interest payment would be only about $444. Make that $440 for a 35-year mortgage. And remember, too, that when you own your home, there are tremendous tax benefits to take advantage of. If you want more information on the CNC homes, call Century 21 Mark IV Realty in Plainville. That's Century 21 Mark IV Realty at 747-4548. That's 747-4548 in Plainville for more information on CNC Homes or Wright Homes, care of WTIC in Hartford.
Excuse me, do you have any Jobs?
Sorry, we're not hiring.
No, I need something for my ferns.
We don't have any openings for plants either.
No, Jobs Spikes.
Oh, Jobs Plant Food Spikes, the plant fertilizer you just push into the soil.
That's Jobs.
The one with all those organic essentials that takes all the worry out of plant care.
Right.
The spikes for really healthy plants and beautiful flowers that feed gradually for weeks.
Uh-huh.
With no mixing or mess.
Yes,
the fertilizer that doesn't burn or overfeed.
You got it.
No, we don't. We're sold out.
Oh.
Sorry. Jobs. Indoors, outdoors. The easiest way to grow on Earth.
At Sterling Jewelers in Hartford, the new fall watch lines from Seiko, Pulsar, Longines, Citizen, and Bulova are in stock, on display, and surprisingly on sale for a very limited time. Imagine if you act now, you can own a beautiful new watch from Sterling Jewelers at a saving of 20%. All these watches are the very newest models. They make perfect gifts, either now or later, and they're marked down 20% for a very limited time. Visit Sterling Jewelers, 97 Pratt Street, Hartford, and save. 26 after 7, back to the phones. Hi, this is Arnold Dean.
Arnold.
Yeah.
I got a couple of... First off, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
I really enjoy your show. I think you've handled it beautifully. I also enjoy you when you fill in for Bob in the morning. You do a heck of a good job.
Thank you very much. I don't know what I do in the morning. That's numb at that hour.
Yeah, well, you've done very, very well.
Thank you.
And I got two questions. Number one, why is it when TIC broadcasts the Whalers games, the national anthem is always blocked out? Is that a deliberate thing, or is that just...
Well, did you ever call on the right night? Chuck Caton just happens to be sitting here.
Yeah, thank you for your call. You know, we take an informal poll once in a while from people, and it is not, first of all, to answer your question, done deliberately. It just so happens sometimes, like the other night where we had the opening ceremonies, that I was downstairs, and we had one commercial minute pregame that is bought by one of our sponsors, and in that case it was put in that spot.
Yeah.
Most times you will hear part of the anthem, and I think that because of the constraints of time, sometimes it'll spill over. The commercial will spill over the anthem, but that's not done deliberately.
Okay, because the other night I was a little disappointed because, you know, I'm not an over-patriotic guy, but it's nice to hear it, you know.
Well, I agree with you.
And it's a good way to start a...
Let me give Chuck credit right now. The other night up in Montreal at their opening game, they had the recording of Roger Doucette.
Yes, and I heard that.
Yes, boy, I'll tell you, so what an inspiring thing. And Chuck got both of those anthems on, yes.
That was great. I really enjoyed that. Arnold, I got one question for you.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you answer it. Maybe you'll have to depend on one of your listeners. Years ago...
I usually do, yeah.
Years ago, Cleveland used to pull a deal, and I think it was in the era of Mudcut Grant and Gene Bisley and those guys, where they used to take a pitcher and put him on third base and bring in another pitcher.
Yep. When they were playing lefty-righty, they would put him in a different position. Normally, they'd put him in the outfield, though.
Well, I remember him putting him in at third a couple of times. Now, this is... I'm just... you know, leaning back in memory. But they also had a third baseman there. I think his name was Buddy Rosar, who could also pitch. And I think on occasion they used him. And I was wondering if there's any way, if you recall this, or whether you...
Gordie Howe just mentioned Rocky Colavito's name, and I know Colavito was at one time a pitcher.
That's right.
That's right.
Yes. I think Gordie's right on that.
Yeah.
I think Colavito was another one. But they used to pull it. Now, is that still legal? Can you still
do it? Oh, sure. Sure. Yes? You can put him in a different position and then put him back on the mound.
Uh-huh. Okay. It was just a question, because I was talking to some guys at work today, and there was a question about this, whether, you know, you could still do this. And I said, well, I can remember it being done, but I haven't heard of it being done.
I don't think they've legislated against that at all, not that I know of.
I haven't heard of it being done recently, you know. Well, listen, again, congratulations, good luck, and it's always a pleasure to listen.
Thank you very much. Thank you for your call.
Right on.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
522-0200 on WTIC 1080. Hi. Hello.
Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary to the Dean.
Happy anniversary to you. That's the Dean.
That sounds so bad it could be my family singing.
No, that's not a very nice thing to say on your anniversary, Arnold.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. I just want you to know that you've really been influential to so many people around the entire East Coast, Arn, for just listening to them and giving them a chance to vent their frustrations time after time and share their joys and happiness with you. And I think that on occasion you probably served as a psychologist and also gone home muttering to yourself from time to time. But all in all, you know, I think that you have some real good people with you tonight right there in the studio, and I think that's a tribute to the kind of individual that you are.
Well,
you're surrounded by superstars, and that's because you are one yourself.
Let me say that this voice I recognize is Mal Doyle, and Mal and family, thank you very much. That's very kind of you.
You're welcome, Ryan, and we just hope that you're going to be around with your show as long as Bob Steele's been around with his.
And Gordie Howe has been on skates.
Yes.
If I can reach those milestones, I'm in great shape.
You bet, and I'll tell you something. If you can come back with as many quick answers as Gordie, you've got it made for a lifetime.
Thank you, Mal.
You're welcome.
Thanks to the family.
You're welcome. Good
bye-bye.
Night.
Yes, sir. Let me turn on a microphone.
Oh, okay.
Yes, Scott.
Before we move along to anything else, there was a gentleman who wanted to take part this evening but wasn't going to be around tonight anywhere where he could be reached.
George Steinbrenner?
Yeah. He has a previous appointment with 25 guys in pinstripes. As a matter of fact, he called down here Friday and wanted to record an anniversary message for you. And let's see if you can recognize this voice.
All right.
Well, Arnold, you just don't know, drowning all those miles and miles down there in the Connecticut area when I was selling those Fenway Franks, and I had nothing else to do except sit there and listen to you. But I'll tell you something, Arnold. I enjoyed it, seriously speaking. Dadgummit, happy anniversary, happy fifth. We hope you have many more. And there's only one way to measure a man. The whereas is it, when it's over, with your credit to his profession, and you certainly have been there. I wish you all the best in the world, Arnold.
Well, that is very nice. I sure do recognize the voice because he was a guest not very long ago, and then we had lunch at Gordy's place. Gordy was with us. That's Hawk Harrelson of the Boston Red Sox television team.
He was just so happy to be able to take part in the program, and he was unhappy that he wasn't able to do it live.
He is one of the nicest people I've ever met.
A super golfer.
Yeah, I imagine.
After nine holes with him, I went in and put a skirt on.
I don't know if you could hear that. Gordy said after nine holes with Harrelson, he went in to put a skirt on. Okay, I finished with line two, I think, so this one's next. Hi, this is Arnold Dean.
Hello, Arnold.
Hi.
I've got a couple questions for Mr. Howe.
Sure.
Okay, Mr. Howe, first of all, I'd like to say it's an honor to be able to talk to you. I don't get the opportunity very often. I'm from the St. Louis area, but I'm living in Washington, D.C. area right now. And
Are you calling from Washington?
Yes, I am.
Oh, terrific.
We were able to pick you up real well down here.
That's great.
Okay, first, Mr. Howe, I'd like to ask you about Perry Turnbull. I've heard a lot of things about Perry Turnbull. People say in a couple of years he may be one of the best players in the league, and I was wondering what you think of that.
Well, to give a legitimate authorization to this young gentleman right now would be guessing because I haven't seen him that much. But however, what I've seen of him, he definitely does have the tools. You have to measure a man by from the shoulders up. If he's a smart hockey player, that's a plus. And then you look at individuals and the little added things that really make a player. And I've tried that in practices that a Davy Keon or a Mark Howe or a few of the boys, I will get parallel with them or behind them and throw a puck at their feet, and somewhere or another they pick that puck up, so they're aware of where everybody on the ice is at a time. And if the kid can get this little added trick or whatever you call it into his parcel or his particular abilities, then he's going to be probably one of the super hockey players for a long, long time. But right now, I think he's in a learning process yet, but he definitely does have the tools.
Yes. And another thing I'd like to ask is, how far do you think the St. Louis Blues are away from the Stanley Cup?
Oh, about, I would say, almost 90 games to 100 games. That's going to take a full season. But ability-wise, They got a great coach. I do admire Red Berenson, and he seems to handle his boys extremely well because they respect them. And when you get the respect of your players, you're going to get 100% out of them, which he did last year. And so I would say if, and I know that's an awful big word, if they stay healthy and stay together as a unit and get the goals they got out of the fellas they had last year, and they picked up another pretty fine defenseman from Winnipeg last year, I think they're going to be very, very tough.
Okay. And one last question I have for you. I know the Philadelphia Flyers this year are wearing the Cooperalls, the long pants.
Right.
And I was wondering, do you think it'll be very long before all the teams go that? And I was wondering what your opinion is of the new uniform.
I for one, do not like them. I like the cover under them, the protection they have underneath, and some of our players are wearing just that. They are wearing the hip pads and the thigh pads and underneath, but they wear a regular shell pant over top. So that gives the old look with the new protection, and I do believe in that. The pants, per se, we use them in practice, or used to use them in practice, and they're comfortable for that reason, but I do not like the appearance of them. And I don't know if the Flyers have made up their mind 100% whether they're going to use them or not. As of the last time when they're in there, they were not decided at that point where they're going to use them for the whole year.
Oh, I see. Okay, well, thank you very much. And I'd just like to say one thing. I've been collecting hockey cards and books and things for many years, and my most prized possession is my 1971 hockey card of Gordie Howe.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Thanks for your call.
All righty, bye.
Right, bye-bye. A call from Washington, D.C. They have a pretty good talk show down there, too, which I've heard up here on occasion. Somebody on the special line again. Hi, this is Arnold Dean.
Arnold, hi. Howard Baldwin.
Hello, Howard.
Happy 5th.
Well, thank you very much.
Congratulations. Who's the old man there with you?
I think you've heard of Gordy, haven't you?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. We've got part of your crew here. We have him and Chuck Caton with us.
Oh, well, isn't that nice.
To celebrate. Well, I appreciate your call, Howard. You've been a part of this show a number of times.
Well, I appreciate everything you've done for us. WTIC has done for us. It's been a big help to us, and we appreciate it very much.
Well, it's been a good association, and I'm happy to see it continuing, and I hope it will for a very long time. It's a pretty exciting hockey team you're getting there, too.
I think we're moving in the right direction. Everybody just will be patient, and I think they're going to enjoy what they see this year. I certainly think that we're going in the right direction. I'm very pleased at what I've seen so far.
We haven't heard quite as much on the show the last week or two about Pat Buttet. Suddenly, I'm not sure what the reason is. Maybe we'll hear less about Mike Rogers, too, over the next few months, depending on how some of these other fellows fit in.
Well, everybody's just got to realize that those are two popular guys that produced a lot of points for us, yet the kids we got are younger, and I think that the proof will be in the pudding. We certainly feel good about it. Mm-hmm. Anybody watching Saturday night's game had to be pretty pleased with young Mr. Millen.
For sure.
I certainly was. So.
Yeah. Well, Howard, I appreciate your call, and I hope you'll be back to visit on the show with us again.
Oh, I'd like to do that. You have a nice night. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much.
All right. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
That's Howard Baldwin, the managing general partner of the Whalers. Interesting, too, Chuck. You know, we've talked before about Herb Brooks. Everybody, for some reason, every time there was a coaching vacancy, everybody said, it's got to be Herb Brooks, Herb Brooks. I wonder if the New York fans now would like to talk to the folks about Herb Brooks. The reception he's gotten down there has been brutal.
It certainly has. It was very curious. I know that people in Hartford feel that since we're in the smallest market in the National Hockey League, that the fans are pretty impatient or they're negative or they're brutal. Well, I'd have to say that I can't agree with that as much because of what happened against the Red Wings the other night out at Madison Square Garden, where I understand Herbie was... assailed with things like get back to the Olympic team, go back to the University of Minnesota. But as Tommy Webster said before, they're instituting a new system just as the Whalers are, and it takes a little bit of time. And it just goes to show that even with the talent the New York Rangers have, that it takes time because you have a new coaching philosophy, a new breakout system, a new forechecking system, and to have talented players not be able to play it early. And well, on the other side of the coin, and I think Gordy would agree, let's not put down teams like Winnipeg either or the Detroit Red Wings, because I think the NHL is fantastic. They really have.
They've made some great moves in Detroit. As a matter of fact, when we had the press conference call where we were drafting different players. Detroit, instead of drafting someone and leaving someone open, they stayed with their lineup because they have a youthful club and they figure they've got enough material there to go a long way. And Winnipeg had the first draft, and they come up with a great goal scorer and a great defenseman. And Howitzchuk,
he's got three goals.
He's got three goals and scored the first two for Winnipeg. So he has proven to be everything he was touted to be. Everybody had him picked as number one. Winnipeg went in, picked him up. And surprisingly, one or two men can take a 16th place club and put him up in the top five. Because if you got two good ones, that'll be 35 minutes of ice time each will give you a 70 minute of ice time between two men, which takes the place of several, maybe five. We, unfortunately, a few of the boys were sent down from our club this morning, and I feel sorry for some of them because a fellow like Neufeldt, being a big boy, he has to have a lot of ice time, and he was what we call a five-minute hockey player, and he cannot play under those conditions. So for benefit of Neufeldt himself, they sent him down where he can get more play.
Okay, you've heard Chuck Caton and Gordie Howe. This is Arnold Dean. It's 20 minutes before 8 o'clock. Phone lines are all busy at 522-0262. Excuse me, 522-0200. I'm giving the wrong telephone number. 522-0200. No, I'm not excited, friends. Lines are all busy, though. Make a note of the number, and we'll tell you when we have some open lines for your telephone call on WTIC 1080.
Shine it up, shine it down, spread that glass.
I want something to show for it. I clean with Glass Plus and show off the shine. Windows to chrome, plus a whole lot more. Look anywhere in my house. There's a shine all around.
Shine it here, shine it there. Glass Plus shines up everywhere.
It shines glass, plus a whole lot more.
Want to beat the high cost of family entertainment? Well, tune in Total Vision and see what great cable TV is all about. It's about Spotlight, blockbuster movies and specials with all your favorite stars. This week alone, you can see Goldie Hawn in Private Benjamin, Katharine Hepburn in The Lion in Winter, Jill Clayburgh in It's My Turn, and Jack Nicholson in Chinatown. For the kids, there's Walt Disney's Freaky Friday and The Cat from Outer Space. Spotlight brings you extra specials to Bobby Vinton in concert, plus Eddie Rabbit, and a special evening of magic and comedy. But Total Vision is more than movies and specials. It's also top sports events, including live action from the Yankees, the Giants, the Knicks, the Rangers, and round-the-clock coverage of your world from Cable News Network. Best of all, a whole month of Total Vision costs little more than one trip to the movies for a family of four. Hartford Cable serves the towns of Bloomfield, East Hartford, Hartford, Simsbury, West Hartford, and Windsor. However, not all homes in these towns are accessible to cable. For Total Vision installation, call Hartford Cable, 522-1268.
Every year, more than 50 million of us take to the water in a variety of small craft. Most accidents on the water are caused by unsafe operation of these boats by uninformed boaters. Red Cross urges you to develop a total understanding of the craft you're handling and offers several excellent courses to make your water fun safe. Your nearest Red Cross chapter will be glad to tell you more about them. This is Bob Dufour for the American Red Cross, working with WTIC for a better Connecticut.
Arnold Dean Sports Talk continues in a moment. Dial 522-0200.
The WTIC Travelers Weather Service forecast for Connecticut and the Springfield area. Through tonight, we'll have clear skies and on the chilly side again, morning lows in the upper 20s and 30s. For tomorrow, a cold, frosty start in the morning, but with plenty of bright sunshine, it will be turning a little warmer tomorrow, high 60 to 65 with very little wind. Clear and not quite as cold tomorrow night, and the outlook for Wednesday, sunny and turning even warmer with highs in the 60s to near 70. In Hartford now, it's 52.
And we're on the home stretch now. It's 16 and a half minutes before 8 o'clock, and we have somebody on the special line again. Hi, this is Arnold Dean.
Hello, Arnold.
Hi.
This is Gene Michael.
Hello, Gene.
How are you doing?
Oh, well, I'm fine. How are you doing?
I just wanted to wish you a happy fifth anniversary for the show.
That's very kind of you. I appreciate it.
I think you've done a heck of a job.
Well, thank you. You tore yourself away from a golf course to make this call, didn't you?
Right. I got away. I got back, and I've been playing a lot of golf, and I just wanted to get back to, you know, say hello to you.
I have to ask you, Gene, how do you feel about the Yankees having made it as far as they have in the playoffs? I'm sure you're following it with more than just passing interest.
I watch most of the games. I'm glad they're winning. I think it's great. I love the players. You know how I feel about all that. I'm tickled to death for them. I think they should go ahead and win. They know how to win.
Are you at liberty to tell us whether anybody else is talking to you about a manager's job?
No, I haven't spoken to anyone. I don't plan. I have no plans at all right now, and you know, I don't have any responsibilities to anyone.
Yeah. Well, you're still on George's payroll, so you can sit back and enjoy and play your golf. And I know that it's going to be a very short time before you're back in the game, and we miss you in the meantime.
Thank you. I love the game, but I'm not worried about that right now. I'm just worried about you. How are you doing up there?
Everything here is fine. I've got Gordie Howe and his famous elbows in the studio with me, you see, so I'm in great shape.
All right, you're doing okay.
Not a thing to worry about.
Great.
Gene, thanks a million for your call.
Okay, thank you.
I appreciate it. We'll be seeing you in Middletown, I guess.
All right, I'll be there.
Very good.
You bet.
Bye-bye. Yeah, he'll be coming up for Albert Hamra's dinner in Middletown for the Jimmy Fund on November
18th.
Okay. Gene Michael will be there in person. We'll do our show out there that night, and we'll be telling you more about that as it approaches in case you'd like to buy tickets and so on. Hi, this is Arnold Dean.
Hello, Arnold.
Hi.
Arnold, I couldn't let this moment pass without wishing you a very, very happy anniversary. This is Glenn Feldman from Hartford Sports Extra.
Oh, hi, Glenn. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. You fellas just had an anniversary, too.
Yes, we did. We just tasted a little birthday cake ourselves, and you people helped us out very much, and I'd like to thank you and Bob Steele, along with Scott Gray, and you made our birthday a little bit special.
Well, that's great. It's nice to have the Sports Extra, and I look forward to seeing it whenever it comes by every couple of weeks.
Well, thank you very much, Arnold. You've been very kind to us in the past 2 years, and I just wanted to wish you another 5 years, if not 50 more, of wonderful success.
Well, thank you, and the same to all of your group.
Thank you very
much,
Arnold.
Thank you, Glenn.
Bye-bye.
Glenn Feldman of Hartford Sports Extra. Hi, this is Arnold Dean.
Hi, Arnold.
Hi.
My first-time caller from Middletown.
Yeah.
And first of all, I just want to congratulate you on your fifth anniversary.
Thank you.
We enjoy the show very much, and you've done a fine job with it. I have two quick questions about baseball, and then I'll hand it up and see if you know or one of the listeners. First of all, we were wondering what happened with Fred Lynn. We looked in the paper yesterday at the final end-of-the-year statistics, and we didn't see his name there. I don't know whether it was a case of his not having enough at-bats.
It's possible he didn't qualify because he did have severe injury problems this year, and his season ended prematurely. The last 2.5 or 3 weeks, he just turned in his uniform, didn't even dress. So it's possible he didn't have enough at-bats to make the final stats.
Okay, that probably explains.
He had a horrendous season. His batting average was down, homers, RBIs, his health was poor. Everything went wrong.
Mm-hmm. Okay, one other thing that maybe you know or some of the listeners. Does anyone know what became of Randy Levine this year? I know he was in the Chicago Cubs organization.
He played in Texas, I believe, in the Cubs organization, but I don't know the team or how he fared. Mm-hmm. So if somebody does have that, I'd sure like to hear from him.
Okay, thanks very much.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 522-0200 now. We're opening up a line or two for you. Hi, this is Arnold Dean.
Happy anniversary, Arnold.
Thank you.
All of us in our profession down here in Willamette, I'm in a strange profession. Hope you have 55 more.
Well, thank you kindly.
Okay, what I call for, besides to wish you a happy anniversary, is Kalia Skrzemski.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants to send another 1 year and see what happens from there. Don't you feel that it would be better to get somebody who is more active with the bat than Carl? He could do great as a coach, a special coach or anything else, or public relations, and give some of these young guys a chance that could really use it.
Well, I'm sure there are many people who might agree with you on that. I think the one key is they still don't throw a fastball by Yastrzemski. So he feels as long as he can still get around on Gossage's fastball, for example, which many of the younger players can't, that he feels there's still a chance that he can hit big league pitching better than he did last season.
Okay, I just wanted to get your opinion on that.
Yeah, I don't know if I disagree with you or not, though, because, you know, I don't know that Carl is going to get an awful lot better in the future than he was this past year. I'll tell you, Frank Benetieri's here. Frank is
devoted Red Sox fan, and if there's anybody who knows the Red Sox, I think Frank does more than anybody. Do you agree with this caller, Frank? What do you think?
Yeah, I agree with him 100%. I think the man is going to embarrass himself. He's 20 feet from the wall now when he hits. Doesn't take advantage of the left field wall. I don't know what he's hanging around for. I really don't.
Frank, by the way, is a friend of Ted Williams. Have you ever talked with Williams about that?
In
regard to somebody staying past his prime, as Yastrzemski is now on the downside, let's face it.
Yeah, Teddy had a bad year in 1959. He hit .254, and the only reason he came back was to prove that he could hit. He had an injury, and he came back. He hit .328, I believe, and he quit. He wanted to quit when he's on top. I mean, the same thing happened to Willie Mays, Hank Aaron. Get to the point where they start embarrassing themselves.
Right. This is why I feel, personally, you know, he'd be better off as a coaching job to stay with the Red Sox organization in this way.
Well, I don't think they have enough money to pay him to become a coach.
Yeah.
But I do believe that he should give Stapleton a good chance to play first base. First base was a prime spot for him where they lost ball games this year with Tony Perez and himself playing there.
Right.
Right.
And I think Stape has to play every day. Glenn Hoffman's a heck of a shortstop, and he belongs at shortstop. And the kids proved themselves this year. They had a fifth-place ball club, according to all the experts, and they showed that they could play ball. And you keep the kids in there, they're going to do all right.
I think, you know, especially with the messed-up season we had this year, I'm a Boston fan, always have been, always will be. I plan on going up there with my clown outfit on next year and to help get the fans psyched up. I think the Boston Red Sox did one hell of a job.
Oh, I think the fans up there really appreciated it this year. It was just that the interest itself after the strike kept the fans away. But the interest was there, and they do appreciate Sullivan and LaRue, too. You didn't hear much bad-mouthing about them. Those deals did turn out well.
Right.
Okay, sir.
Okay.
Thank you for your call. And another call on the special line. Hi, this is Arnold Dean.
Hi, Dad.
Hi.
I've been elected spokesman of the family. And we all want to congratulate you on your 5th anniversary.
I can't believe it. Hi, Rich.
Many more.
Well, that's very nice of you, Rich. You were designated for this honor, huh?
Yep.
Number 2 son, the youngest member of the family. Your voice sounds pretty good on the air. How about a part-time job?
No.
Thanks, Rich.
All right, we'll see you when you get home.
Right, I appreciate it. Bye-bye. Well, that's the biggest surprise of the night. That was my son, Richie. Your buddy there, Gordy, who likes to arm wrestle with you. Right. Who can beat you, by the way.
Yes,
Hi, this is Arnold Dean.
Hello, Arnold.
Hi.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
In fact, I think I knew you up at Westover.
40-50th, yes.
Right.
I was stationed there, that's
right.
I know
you were.
Yeah.
Okay, question. Now, I was under the impression that you could not...
I was an officer, believe it or not. You see, you didn't know what trouble this country was in at that time.
Well, I was a boom operator. Okay, on the double play, I thought you could not anticipate a double play.
That's true. In the official scoring?
Right.
Yes, that's true. You cannot anticipate the double play.
Okay, now on this Yankee game, they gave Watson or whoever threw the ball to him an error. They got the man out at second, but the throw was bad going in the first, or Watson closed his glove, and they did not get the man at first, and they called him an error.
Did he advance?
No, they got the man at second.
Right, but the man who was called safe at first, did he advance to second?
I really don't know. But
see, if he did, you have to account for the way he got to second base,
yeah,
and that's where the error would be.
Well, they called the error right down and there before he advanced. He was safe on first.
All right, I'll tell you, I remember once before I got into a big discussion about this, and I'll tell you how long ago it was. I literally was a very young person watching because Rocky Nelson, in history, was the first baseman with Montreal. The Montreal Royals were the Dodgers' AAA farm club. This is 100 years ago, friends.
Exactly.
And Rocky Nelson was the first baseman, and I remember as a Dodger fan, I was rooting for them against Syracuse at MacArthur Stadium in Syracuse. Somebody hit a ground ball to the shortstop who flipped to second for an out, and the throw was over to Nelson at first base. He was standing on first, took the ball in his glove, and the ball slid out of the glove, and the runner at first was safe.
Right.
And they called it an error.
Right.
And I fought and said you cannot anticipate a double play. But here was a case where the double play had been completed. The ball was in his glove, and you're not anticipating it. The out was there, except that he dropped the ball. And in that case, you do bend that rule.
Well, this was just in the playoffs. Maybe somebody else seen.
Yeah, if somebody can give us more information, we'd be very happy to hear it.
Watson had just closed his glove ahead of time. The ball was low.
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of tried to scoop it out of the dirt, and he didn't make it.
Yeah.
And they called the error right away, even before the runner, I forget now if he did advance, but the error was called right away. So maybe somebody else has something to say on that.
Oh, okay. We'll see.
Right.
Thank you very much.
Right.
Frank Benetieri says that it's possible the Yankee broadcaster said that, but then the error was not actually given, in fact.
Yeah, I think,
well,
I think
maybe somebody who recalls that specifically can let us know. Hi, this is Arnold Dean.
Hi, Arnold.
Yeah.
I thought you'd like to know that your buddy Jeff Bodine came in seventh at North Carolina.
I noticed that.
Yeah, and Richie Evans won at Oswego.
How about that?
Yeah.
The alumni group from the racing fraternity in Connecticut is doing pretty well.
Yeah. And, that Chuck Caton plays a mean game of pinball.
Yeah, they called me Elton John in the offseason. Noah, did I play you today?
Yeah.
Just want to say that we played for a very good cause. Greg Millen and I were out at West Farms there and played at... for the Newington Children's Hospital, and we met some very fine people there, and I ended up 11-4. But that was the best part of the day, being with the people.
Very good, Arnold. Happy anniversary.
Thank you very much.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Chuck, I'd been reading in the paper that you were going to be there. How are Millen's reflexes?
Well, he was playing Space Invaders, and I was playing the old-fashioned pinball game, which I'm better at because I played somebody until Greg got there about a quarter
you'd
to
be
two.
Better at space.
Well, I am better at space space-headedness, maybe. But those electronic games I've never gotten a hang of. You know, I don't even have a television set. I can't even hook
can't
up
practice.
These old games.
Yeah.
No, but it was fun and. Greg Millen, as far as Greg Millen is concerned, he is very quick, but he found out very quickly that there are people even younger than a 23- or 24-year-old netminder that have the reflexes. Some of these kids are just fantastic.
Oh, I've watched them. Of course, they play by the hour. They have so much more money to spend at a quarter a clip, you know, than we adults do.
Yeah.
Oh, I... 026? Yeah, okay. Let me take this call, a long-distance one, apparently. Hi, this is Arnold Dean.
Arnold?
Yeah?
I just got a call from... your radio station there in Hartford. This is Fran Healy, and I understand you're celebrating number 5.
You got it, Fran. How you doing?
Good. Yourself?
Very good. I want to thank you and the scooter for the mentions the other day.
Well, we catch you anytime we can, and that's where we learn everything. The Arnold Dean Show. But look, congratulations, and I'm sure I'll be talking to you on your 25th anniversary.
That's very nice, and I hope you'll be up here to share the time with us. Are you at home right now, Fran, or in New York?
I'm at home right now and heading back to New York to do the big games tomorrow.
We just had a call. Maybe you can straighten it out for us. Somebody wanted to know about anticipating the double play. Apparently, Watson dropped a ball at first base at the tail end of a double play, and was he given an error on it?
Yes, he was. You can never anticipate a double play.
How come he got the error then?
Wait a minute. No, I believe they changed it. Wait a minute. Oh, I know what happened. The umpire put his arm up, signaling out. And then the ball was dropped.
All right.
The anticipation was removed once the umpire signaled out.
All right. Good. That straightens it out. I've always said you're an expert on the rules, Fran.
No, I just make them up.
Sounds like an NHL official, no.
Yeah, right. But look, Arnold, once again, congratulations.
Well, thank you, Fran. It's nice to talk with you. I enjoy so much listening to you fellas on those Yankee games, and I appreciate the plug, and you're always welcome on the show, so it's good to talk with you.
Thank you, Arnold.
Thank you.
Talk to you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
That's Fran Healy. Boy, we've had some very nice guests. Mr. Hamra, would you sit down for a moment, sir? Albert Hamra came in with this huge cake. Gene Michael, the former Yankee manager, called a little while ago. He's a very good friend of Albert's. And I mentioned that he was going to be at the dinner in Middletown. And then I couldn't remember the date. Albert, could you give us the information on when and where?
The date is November 18th at the Elks Club in Middletown. So far we have Gene coming,
And we also have you broadcasting live. We have Ken Coleman coming down. And we have Ron Davis from the Yankees also coming.
Ron Davis?
Yes.
How about that?
We signed him up today.
Two fastballers, huh? Him and me on the same card.
I think a slow baller and a fastball.
Okay, if people are interested in tickets, can you give an address or a telephone number or something?
They can call Middletown 346-8633, and we'll give them all the information.
346-8633, and all the information will be forthcoming. And we will be broadcasting from there that night. Well, I can't tell you, friends, how much of a joy this has been for me. I had no idea it'd be anything like this, but I appreciate all the goodies and the plaques and pens and everything, and especially the fact that you all stopped in and that you folks out there called in on this fifth anniversary show.
He's a jolly good fellow, for he's a jolly good fellow.
This is our closing theme.
Which nobody can deny.
But if somebody could deny it, they would have the opportunity here, friends, at 522-0200. You can dial Mark Davis next on WTIC 1080 Hartford, the pulse of New England.
He's a jolly good fellow, which nobody can deny.
It's 8 o'clock and 52 degrees. I'm Phil Hall, WTIC News. At this time tomorrow night, the count will be underway to see which one of four Democratic candidates is the Capital City's new party primary nomination for the first ever primary called after the results of the first came under charge.